There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast on the left.
From your blade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Welcome to the show, everyone. I am Ben Kissel. That's Marcus Parks. This is the last podcast on the left, special edition.
It is.
I think we've decided to call it Henry Yells at Dave Willis about aliens. So this will be, we're giving you two episodes this week. This is a special one. Dave Willis, he's the creator of Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Mm-hmm. Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell.
Yeah.
Squidbilly?
Yeah, Squidbillies.
And despite that resume, Dave is still stunned by the mind of Zabrowski. So we have been waiting a long time for this. Can't wait to listen right along with you, because Marcus and I haven't heard this yet.
This is great. Yeah, I can't wait to hear this thing. What exactly Henry yells at Dave about.
Right, so to channel my best inner Zabrowski, you know, go get a Garfield toe, smoke a hog's leg full of nug, do whatever you have to do to put yourself in the mindset that might make Henry kind of make sense to you. And if he starts to make a lot of sense to you, go to the doctor. Go to the doctor immediately. You've lost your mind. All right, should we give it a listen, Marcus? Let's
give it over to Henry and Dave.
Hello, listeners, last podcast on the left. I am at Dave Willis's home, which is at, what is the address?
596.
He has two lovely children, a beautiful wife, completely vulnerable here on the hill in Atlanta. And it's so nice I'm here. We're doing Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell, season three. As you probably know, I've talked about it a million times, and I'm largely alone here. As you've heard of my tales in Atlanta, I'm pretty much 24/7 alone with my thoughts. Mostly I've been watching the Made in the USA O.J. Simpson documentary, which is awesome. But he fucking cut that woman's head off real bad.
That's what I heard. I haven't seen it yet, but I heard like those images are just jar. I read an article where the guy says that he said he felt like something grazed his soul when he saw those pictures.
Yeah, he definitely went at her like he was trimming a hedge. Ugh. But he's a great football player.
He was really good in his prime.
He really was.
And until he blew out his knee, he was so good. I mean, 2,000 yards, not many people been able to pull that off.
And then have the energy to kill your wife and her karate-loving model boyfriend? Everybody, he got upset. But I'm not saying he's innocent. I mean, we got him good. He's doing bad in jail right now. But so, as you know, when I am recording this podcast, a lot of times Dave listens to the podcast. His wife Lisa listens to the podcast. I do a lot of independent research on aliens 24/7. It's kind of an ongoing thing in my life. And when I'm alone, I have no one to talk to about it, and literally drives me to a point of anxiety / depression that is probably unhealthy, to the point where I'm screaming at stop signs being like, "You're telling me to stop?" just being unhinged. And so I thought maybe we'd sit here and we'd talk about aliens. So maybe we could do a little bit of Henry Zabrowski and Dave Willis unplugged on UFOs.
Yeah.
Here in your home.
In fairness, Henry, I don't know. There's not a whole lot that I can bring to the conversation as far as facts and as far as knowing much about UFOs.
But the best part, that's why I have you here. So I get to yell at you. Also, all information about UFOs is technically false. So anything that I know is also wrong.
Well, one thing you mentioned to me earlier, you said that they were photoshopping UFOs out of pictures, which I had no idea.
Gotta do it, because they're fucking everywhere. Because if you didn't Photoshop the UFOs out of the NASA pictures, that's all we'd be seeing. No one would be looking at fucking Saturn. Because there's Zigzor out there fucking a huge woman. Because that's how I always imagine aliens. I think Greys love huge women because you could fit a lot of eggs in them.
Who's Zigzor?
Zigzor fucking the gray. Probably the tall white. Because I think the bosses get to fuck. Because they make the baby. You know, they make hybrids. This is going to be a big leap in information that Dave does not understand. They make hybrids. A part of their plan is to breed themselves with humankind and make stronger. Technically, what they're supposed to do is change the idea of attractiveness in America by making waifish humans, by having sex with humans, mixing gray DNA with human DNA, in order to make more make us believe that that's an attractive thing, so we welcome the overcoming takeover by the alien races, various alien races that watch.
So they're even pushing things further towards anorexic, thin.
They're kinda doing it. They're the ones doing it.
How do they bear children if without childbearing hips and?
Well, I'm really glad you asked.
And mammary filled glands that nourish the young.
Well, I'm certain it's got a lot to do with it. But I also believe, well, the grays, the tiny grays, are robots. They're biomechanical robots created by the tall whites that use them to do their bidding. They're like their butlers. The tall whites are like our tall whites, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, the people that started this country, the big bad whites, Rupert Murdoch, David Cameron, Dave Willis. The people that control the media in this country.
Virgin Airways.
Yes, that guy. Yes. But there's a lot of that, too. But, you know, I do believe that UFOs are real in a many contextual way. I think that they're an interdimensional, actual physical craft. I think that they can be physical, but partially they're kind of connected to our brains, right? Like, we manifest them.
But don't you think not to put the cart before the horse, but the fact that they come here to breed with us, they have the technology and the ability, and they're far beyond, and still it's a little self-absorbed to think that why would they even come here to have sex with us? And
to fuck. They come to fuck. They come because we're ready to fuck. We're down to fuck. Think about Barney Hill. I always think about when we did an episode about Barney and Betty Hill, which is an interracial couple that were abducted by aliens. And it's a part of the one thing that Barney Hill never wanted to talk about was that they put a genital cuff on him that made him orgasm, right? It was like this thing, and it made him grow these weird growths around the outside of his penis. But what he won't say, which I think he wanted to say, is that it was fucking great. I think it made him come big time. And he loved it. And he didn't want to talk about it. And they're just very good at it.
But it was one of those sort of Stockholm Syndrome things. Like, he was like, no, no, please don't put the cuff on. But over time,
he loved it. Do you believe in UFOs? Have you ever seen anything like a UFO?
No, I can emphatically say that I've never seen anything even remotely close to a UFO. But I do believe in life. Yes, of course. There's got to be life elsewhere. It's just, I mean, it's infinite. I mean, there's got to be.
There's got to be, right?
There's got to be some other sustaining area and how do you define life? I mean, there's all these definitions for what define. I'm sure you know.
Like, I mean, I know it's alive if it can come here and milk us for our cum.
Of course.
Then it's definitely alive.
Yes. No, that meets the definition, probably, the scientific definition, if it can somehow come down here with giant manacles.
Let's see if it squirts.
Yes. Well, that's definitely alive. That thing that just put that thing on my genitals, that meets the definition.
Have you ever seen anything like that, like a ghost or a vampire? Have you ever seen a werewolf?
No, absolutely, emphatically not. I don't think I've ever had any sort of any sort of mystical experience with other beings from other planes. But I do believe that I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in ghosts. I do believe that there are aliens. There has to be.
Well, I'm getting rid of the term ghost.
Okay.
I hate the word. I'm almost having problems with the term alien. Because I don't think there's anything like that. I think in the end, there's some sort of, they're all the same thing. Or eventually, there's going to be some code saying that the ghosts and aliens are both the same part of interdimensional sort of aberrant thing that we pick up because our brains are antennas.
Right. Right. No, I get that. I get that. It makes sense. It makes sense, Henry.
It's interesting. But I think everybody has an opinion. Like, that's why I like aliens so much, is because I think that it is a very, of course, it's a contentious belief. And a lot of people that have experienced UFOs, like something like UFOs or being abducted, a lot of times they become either implacably nerdy, they become super nerds and they can never be normal ever again, or they're so traumatized that their whole lives are now garbage and they have to spend their lives going from person to person being like, they stuck it in me. They stuck it in me and I know they have my babies.
You
know,
don't you think it's something like some of those people are like, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy though? It's like one of these things where they want to see it, they want to believe, and then they see something and it makes them believe.
Yeah, I think it's like a LeBron situation where he wanted the ring and he wanted to bring it back to Cleveland. Yeah, I think there's a part of it because it gives them something to talk about. Because normally they're just a mouth breather that like lives in South Dakota. That's actually not true. There's many intelligent people who have seen UFOs. The governor of Arizona when he saw the Phoenix Lights. You ever seen the Phoenix Lights?
No.
Phoenix Lights. Watch video on the Phoenix Lights. I'll just send you stuff in the night.
I gotta tell you. I'm certain, the more we talk about this, the more I realize that maybe I don't even have curiosity about this. Not only do I not have information, but I don't have,
okay.
I don't have the quest or the desire to acquire the information.
Well, then let me try to whet your appetite and see if I can talk to you about some of the stuff I've been reading about. So I wanted to kind of pick at some of the baby topics that I have been reading about alone.
Okay.
And I want to see what you think. All right. So do you know anything about the real Men in Black?
No, I do not.
So now they're not just David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson, right? It's not just the X-Files.
Sure.
Men in Black are a phenomenon that's known as people that basically who have reported seeing a UFO or being abducted by a UFO, who reported to the government, say a lot of times they get visited by very strange men dressed all in black that seem to not know what it's like to be human and told to not tell anybody, ugh. I'm sorry. It's disgusting. This is a problem.
You just coated the mic with garlic
from and a bunch of shrimp scampi and and beer here. So
thank God we've got the tube sock on there to protect your equipment, but not my face from your violent outburst.
Dave has soundly criticized my recording techniques that I have been using for years alone in hotel rooms. I know he's a professional, but the idea is that Men in Black are these weird semi-human creatures that meet people that have seen UFOs that may work for our government. So our tax dollars are paying their fucking benefits, right? And tell them to not talk about their experiences. It said it started about 1953 with a case involving a man named Albert K. Bender. Albie Bender. Now, Bender was the founder of the International Flying Saucer Bureau, which means he is a fucking worthless nerd at the time.
I thought you were asking me to complete your story. Yeah. I was like, one of the tall whites?
Yeah, I don't know. Do I have to be serious?
I'm zoning out.
No.
What did you say? Grays. He's one of the grays.
You cannot zone out. This is important. This is why you're here, all right? My girlfriend just got here. I have a 3-day grace period where I'm allowed to, where I can't talk about UFOs until it's over, all right?
Today's episode is brought to you by BlueApron.com. For less than 10 bucks a meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. The meals available in July: creamy shrimp fettuccine with sauteed green beans and spinach, sweet chili chicken with Tinkerbell peppers, green beans, and jasmine rice, and spiced steak and tomato avocado salad with creamy cone cabbage and red onion slaw. Check out this week's menu and get your first 3 meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/LEFT.
So late in the summer, 1953, Bender made a series of discoveries which led him to believe that he had finally found the truth to the UFO cover-up. He had planned to reveal his findings in the October issue of The Space Review, which is a magazine he founded himself. That's how good he was. But before the issue was published, Bender was visited by 3 men dressed in black who had already read the unpublished report somehow and confirmed his findings. The silencers, as he called them, scared Bender to the point where he did not publish the report, but left a warning: we advise those engaged in saucer work to please be very cautious. What do you think about that?
What does he mean, saucer work? Like no, but I mean, I lost that. Is he warning the government? Is he warning the
Bender to not release his fucking secret report that he had found, saying that he knew the truth about UFOs?
Right. Okay.
Well, I mean,
your doubt in me.
No,
your doubt in me is affecting me.
No, no, no. Look, I'm not saying it doesn't happen. Like, I mean, the Mormon religion was started by that guy who brought those tablets.
He was just doing anything to keep the sick 16-year-olds he was fucking in the tent.
That's true. That's very true. That's very true. But do you think that there was some sort of ulterior motive by Bender?
Well, definitely. But in the end, he started a magazine. He's got to make some money.
Right.
Right, that's the problem with all of these UFO things. As soon as it ties to the, well, first you've got to buy my tape. First you've got to buy my book. That means, you know, it's like, well, this guy needs money, mostly because of the fact he either saw a UFO and it made him unhirable, because all he does is now scream and rant about how he saw a UFO.
Right, right, right.
Or he's lying.
What did Bender do for a living? He
created Space Review Magazine.
So, an entrepreneur.
Yes.
So, self-employed.
Yes, self-employed. Independent publisher. And that's what he did. That's the problem, is that if you follow the money, it goes back to Albert K. Bender's parents.
Follow the lack of money.
Follow the lack of money.
Just cut to him.
Go back to his parents. Go to the attic bedroom where he's staying with his mom and...
Well, I'm going to read you another story that I really like about Men in Black.
Okay, good.
All right, because the idea, this is what I saw him. You are now a captive of me. I know I'm in your home.
Yes.
He's got lovely, there's gourds here that's very nice that can only be in the home of a nice family, a good, well-to-do family. You've got many plates. You have like 40 plates.
Yes, we have like a Pottery Barn rack over here.
That's many there's plates.
Yes. Yes.
I have 4 plates.
They're all paper.
And your children aren't here, which is really nice.
Which is, yes, we can be loud.
Also, I accidentally walked into your neighbor's house.
Yeah, my son's very impressionable at this. It's very good that he's not here, because I think he would pick up on this thread. I think he would be...
My acolyte? Can I call him my acolyte?
Well, you know, I mean, he told me he was an atheist like a year ago, but he said... Yeah, I think the Greek gods could exist, though. It's like you can't have it both ways, Percy Jackson.
I like how
if you don't believe in Jesus, you can't believe in Mercury as well.
You cannot.
Yes.
All right. So this one's called Adele, not Big Adele. It could be though.
Right.
1968. Location: North Yorkshire. Adele. It's a pseudonym. So don't worry.
Okay.
She was 16 at the time. Nice. At the door to what appeared to be a very... I'm sorry.
Briefly became Borat there.
Yeah, nice. Because I was doing it today on Pretty Face for like a half an hour. When I went in, there's a whole section where I'm a beaver trying to make a bunch of horny beavers chase me. And I kept going, do I make you horny, baby? I'm Austin Powers. So I was doing that for a while.
I'm going to take it back through the other end. I'm just going to bust in through the back door with this.
Yes.
20 years later.
Adele, a pseudonym, was 16 at the time, answered the door to what appeared to be a very strange insurance salesman. He was tall, wore a black suit and tie, and had a florid complexion. Do you know what that word means?
Rubicund.
Rubicund.
Will you join me in the Rubicund?
After staring at the 16-year-old... and smiling for an unnerving length of time, he jerked into action and asked Adele, do you have insurance? Is it now? Adele later remarked that his voice seemed to be computerized. So, do you have insurance? Is it now? She suggested that the insurance salesman come back later when her parents were home. At that moment, the man suddenly began to sweat profusely. He removed his hat to reveal a bald and extremely pale head. Adele could now see that he was wearing makeup to darken his face. Can I see a glass of water? The man in black asked. Inviting the man in, Adele fetched him a glass of water, and he did just that. He looked at the glass of water and set it aside. Next, he turned his attention to a clock on the mantelpiece. Adele told the man in black that the clock was her father's retirement present, at which he seemed baffled. Is it your father's time? He asked. Is it here and now? Is it here and now? Is it here and now? Then the men in black seemed to freak out like a malfunctioning robot. He began repeating, your father, his time, your father, his time, over and over again, and became stiff and immobile. Turning to the door, he had to use his hands to move one of his legs. He told Adele to watch the lights before leaving in a hurry, disappearing down the street impossibly quickly. What did he mean when he said, watch the lights? Adele would soon find out. Shortly after the Men in Black left, Adele's living room filled with small, bright lights, which danced around before exiting through the window.
All right. Well,
not fake.
But, I mean, there's not, like a smoking gun. I mean, it's not like his faceplate came off Westworld.
No.
I mean, it's
there's
like,
never that.
I mean, he sort of acted like an immigrant that maybe couldn't speak the language.
You think that maybe she meant computerized voice and possibly it was just an Indian accent?
Yeah, it would be more interesting if it was like, you know, he grabbed a glass of water and said something like, you know, I couldn't possibly ingest this because of my interior circuits, but this is clearly a liquid that forms many of you humans.
That's a problem. It's too on the nose for them.
A little more too telltale. Right.
Well, the Men in Black have these things just pop up all the time, right? It's that they say that they wear lipstick, they wear different, they show up to places where people have said they've seen UFOs, and they just act like they have never been a human being before. They don't know how to use doors, they don't know how to order food, they don't eat, they'll order food, won't eat it, they'll chew it and spit it out.
Right.
But they also say that the Men in Black, so this is just the history of people having encounters with men in black.
But my question is, like, why did they come? Are they there to wipe her memory? Are they there to...
That's a very good question.
I mean, what's their purpose there? To watch the lights? I mean, what did the lights do? What did the lights provide information, or...
It's cool. Maybe they're just cool. Maybe he's just like, before that he was like, you should probably smoke a little weed before you do it.
So they come all this way just to fucking show off, basically. Maybe. Like,
but I actually wonder if that there's a lot to that with alien culture just in general. If they just show up and do like a Blue Angels kind of flyby and say, peace, bye. I'm like, I don't know. We see, and then what I'm now getting to, my problem is the next level that I want to start talking to you about that I literally cannot do is that in our favorite website, Bibliotheque Le Pleiades, they have a whole thing about the Men in Black and their magical origins, where they believe that there's something tied to essentially reptilian. Okay. So, if you want to go back in the
day... You're having to build a clock for me, right? This is my dad's expression where he's like, yeah, I know you want to know the time, but I'm going to build a clock for you.
That's my whole life.
Yes. All right.
About aliens. No, this is just dumb. This is going to be... I can't even begin to explain this, because what this is essentially Men in Black have something to do with the reptilians who place themselves within the Illuminati secret societies at the beginning. And what they did was essentially far technology back in the ancient times, which to them they thought was magic. So this idea that Men in Black are actually just aliens that work for the government, that are so deep inside the government that they work for them.
The thing I don't get about the government, though, is like, I mean, some of those people are elected and some of them are appointed, and these are like...
But are all elections?
Okay, all
follow
right.
The money.
Yes. All right, you're going one step deep for me.
Technically they are.
But wouldn't they, I mean, if like a bureaucrat, wouldn't they be like, you know, Gary's been here like, Jesus, I mean, he's been here 110 years. And he doesn't look like he's aged, really. I mean,
it's a miracle it's got to be moisturizer. He smokes a pack a day and he says he doesn't know what food is.
He goes to lunch, you know, he goes with us to Moe's. He doesn't order anything except water. And then he looks at it. He eyeballs it, sniffs it, and then throws it at someone and then leaves.
I've never seen reports so neat. And still, he keeps it up. He keeps going.
Great guy, though.
Yeah. But it's like, that's like, but there's also a story of a guy named Valiant Thor that they believe is a Venusian that worked with George Bush's grandfather, Vannevar Bush, like back in the day. It was one of the original, like, spooks, like part of the OSS, who said they had a purplish tint and would have to wear makeup. And he was a part of the secret space program. But they say that there's a Venusian that works for the U.S. government, and he's been there forever. He's 300 years old. He's got six fingers. He has to wear a special skin tight suit, like, over himself. And they just act like, and they have pictures of him that you see. It's like, but you don't know what it is. What I like about UFO also proof is like, it's like an old picture, a bunch of old white men. They're like Vannevar Bush. And then their proof is that it's just an arrow that somebody drew on it. And then it said, here he is. And it's just a guy standing there who just kind of looks Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of tan.
Yeah. But he's got like a head that's like 3 feet circumference.
He's floating above the chair. Yes. He's very beautiful. Yeah, but this is
a head made of complete obsidian.
Yes, it's like big.
Oh, yeah. He's always been strange.
He's always been a little off.
He won the costume contest every single time for the last 110 years. But that leads me into a little. The other subject that I was going to talk to you briefly about was the secret space program that is going on right now, Dave. And it's going on underneath our noses, and we're letting it happen. You're letting it happen by your actions. Your vote, not me.
My actions or my lack of actions. What am I doing that is creating this situation?
What are you doing and what are you not doing? You're a part of the upper echelons of the entertainment industry. You're a part of the flow of information. If we can put just the little bit of truth concealing, this is what I'm trying to pitch to you about, your pretty face is going to hell. Just put little subconscious, we put subliminal messaging into the show.
I would love to do that. Yeah.
Put research MK Ultra.
Yeah.
Research Gary McKinnon.
Absolutely. I think our legal department would find it, but yeah, why not?
Do you think they'd get upset?
I don't know. I think they would ask. I mean, mostly as long as it doesn't involve an erection or like fecal matter that is brown.
That's all they care about.
That's more standards and practices. But yes, that's all they tend to care about.
So
as long as it's not like a popular song or anything that we could be sued over, I think they'd be fine if we said research Gary McKinnon.
If we try to destabilize the union?
Well, yeah, anything we can do to destabilize the union through our show that airs at 12:30 at night on Cartoon Network when it switches over to Adult Swim.
Please buy ads, Pepsi Cola.
Yes.
Just put that in there. Get the ad execs hypnotized.
Well, what would you, like, how would that destabilize? I mean, what would you want to do?
You have to incept people on the idea.
Oh, like the movie?
Like the movie. Okay. You got to have it. It's got to appear three times for people to be into it, right? And they got to research it. Yes, Gary McKinnon. Well, for those of you who don't know, Gary McKinnon is an autistic hacker from Scotland who hacked into the NSA and supposedly found proof of a secret space program that is going on right now. And he does talk like a Men in Black.
Well, we have a limited marketing and PR budget. So, like, probably the first thing we would do is probably use whatever resources we have to just push people towards the show.
Just the show in general.
And then we can talk about destabilizing the union. I mean, but, like, you know, when you talk about ideas, I mean, like, we have access to, like, maybe one T-shirt cannon. Like, is there a way that we can destabilize the union?
One T-shirt
koozies.
That's what we got to do. You just put it in there. It's like when they draw cocks in the Little Mermaid posters.
Right,
but
right.
I think that was essentially to make kids horny. I think that was that before. Get them horny for the Little Mermaid, which I already was.
Of course. But really? There are cocks in that Little Mermaid poster?
Yeah, you've never seen that?
No.
Disney's a lot of stuff with Disney where they write sex and the clouds and stuff like that. It's get people thinking about sex.
I have a poster somewhere where a Disney animator apparently got fired and then he drew this. Have you seen this poster?
No.
Oh, it's just pornographic. It's like Huey, Dewey, and Louie all pulling a train.
Excellent.
It is like every major iconic Disney character in some sort of 69 or fellating each other or just some gang rape of the dwarves on Snow White.
So this is not on Netflix yet? This does not make it to DVD?
This exists. Wow. I have it somewhere.
I would love to see that.
It's not like some sort of Mad Magazine type thing.
No, it's hardcore pornography.
But it was legit done by an animator, a disgruntled animator that got fired and was like, fine.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Come after me, Walt.
Let it roll.
Come get me.
And he was like, let me put my exoskeleton on first.
Yeah.
And then he fucking ripped his fucking balls off.
Today's other sponsor is AdamandEve.com. For a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs plus a free mystery gift. And to top it all off, they'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. These are people that are dedicated to your orgasm. They want you to fuck. They want you to have a good time. So why don't you go on over to AdamandEve.com and make their dreams come true? And use the code LEFT at checkout. That's LEFT at AdamandEve.com.
We watched a video that was actually really interesting that found a bunch of footage from the 1960s sign-off You know when they used to play back in the day, how they used to play like a sign off, like sort of like they play the national anthem, they play like a bunch of like American images.
Sure.
There was an edition of it at some point that had the words to the Star Spangled Banner like printed on it, and subliminally they put things on there, like as the letters fade into the next letters, it says God is great, believe in God, and then it starts believe in government God, and then it says ultra ultra ultra. It's like all of this shit, and what we Marcus and I were talking about is that we believe that it's a proposed trigger mechanism for what they thought was going to be the MK Ultra.
What is the MK Ultra?
MK Ultra.
Am I walking everyone through they already know?
Everyone likes to hear about it.
All right.
Because it's real. The MK Ultra is real. MK Ultra is a super spy training program that the original version of the CIA, the OSS, created in the 1950s. And the goal was they took it from Nazi scientists. And the goal was they figured out is that if they could possibly break a person's personality into a bunch of chunks, you can make it so that they are uninterrogatable, that they can hide secrets within multiple personalities and train them. Like literally like takes like Manchurian Candidate, right, where you can break somebody's personality apart and then train one faction of it and make it a killer, or make it like give it secret information and then mask it using hypnotism, and then what you do is they'd hear like a command word or phrase and they would turn on, they would become the thing,
like Jason Bourne, or like what was the movie with the guy from the Facebook movie, you know what I'm talking about,
Zuckerberg's Limitless.
You know what it was. It was not a great movie.
The one with Jesse Eisenberg. Yes, that one. Go. I forget what it's called. Yes, that's what it's like. American Ultra.
The idea. Yep. There you go. Ultra.
Yes.
All right.
And so, but the concept was is that they basically, but what they ended up doing was driving a bunch of people insane, and then the process never worked. It ruined a bunch of people's lives, and they would like keep them awake for days. They'd use hypnotism. They would feed them acid. They would feed them like uppers and downers, and torture them and destroy their entire lives.
Right.
And then I think is in certain ways they would put little signals out like this. They were like put up the infrastructure of being like, because they also used to randomly dose whole towns' water systems with LSD. That was a common thing the CIA used to just do, right? And so they used to just put out that money and these. But I think what happened is that they would fill out like feeler ones where it'd be like, okay, we put out the LSD and fucking Allentown's water. I was like, we're gonna see what happens, and then it's just gonna be like, we're gonna put up a trigger mechanism and see if a bunch of people go insane. And then they don't, and they're like, fuck, we just wasted a bunch of money.
Really? They would dose like a whole town?
Yeah. They did it in New York. They try to liquefy LSD and put it out of a muffler of a car while driving around, like try to just shoot vaporized LSD just to see how people handle it, how society can possibly break down if everybody's tripping balls.
Well, didn't they have people like, didn't somebody like jump out of a window? Like they had a guy mm-hmm. who jumped out of a window.
They
right?
dosed him.
Yeah. I mean, what did they tell the family?
She's like, that guy was sad. You should have seen him around the office.
He told me he was very...
He wore a veil. He was so sad. He kept crying on a rose. I told him to kill himself. And that's on me. That's on me. Here's $100. I'm sorry. We're all very sorry. Well, I've kind of put you through this for like a half an hour.
Well, no. You put me through this every day. I mean,
yes, our whole lives are working together. This is just the beginning. This is just a recorded version.
This is there. What do you think of the chicken? I mean, I can't get through like a drumstick without hearing about MK Ultra and fucking the tall whites. And
I still have family. I still have friends. So, you know, we're just spreading the truth one bit at a time.
I think that's fascinating, though, because those LSD experiments by the CIA, I mean, that's just insane.
And think about how strong their LSD was. But also, that was like that wasn't made by like Derek and his fucking dorm room. That was made by like a scientist who's like, this will make you freak out hardly. And he's just like, what's freak out mean? Oh, we'll see soon, won't we?
I mean, can you imagine coming from a 50s mentality, too, of just like...
like just be, and your wife is
why, Gene? Gee, Sally, that was some dynamite milkshake.
So all of a sudden, he's just like, there are other worlds than these.
We've dosed his vanilla malt.
I am colors. I have never not been colors. Same, like, so you're going to go to work today, Gene, or...
There is no work.
There's no such thing as work. There's no such thing as time, you bitch. It's like screaming it in the living room. But thank you for having me. I want to have Lisa come on and at least say hi. Lisa listens to the podcast all the time.
Talk about being a ghost.
Talk about being a ghost.
Talk about being a ghost.
I'm married to a ghost. I don't believe in them, but I'm married to one.
Yeah, I had an experience when I lived in Baton Rouge. It was a while ago, and I was living with some friends of mine in this old house, and they were out of town. They were in New Orleans, and I lived with them for a year probably, and it was 11 o'clock at night.
Well, you're in New Orleans, which is like the most haunted place in the face of the planet.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm hearing like someone walking around. These old wooden floors, real heavy. So I thought, well, they came back home or one of their crazy friends came in or something. So I yelled down and I'm like, hey, who's there? And I don't hear anything. And I keep yelling down and no one answers. And then I hear boxes like pushed up against, like pushed around the house. Like really, and you could hear someone just stomping around the floor, and there was no porch or anything. So after about an hour of this, I started getting a little freaked out, and I called 911, and two policemen came over, didn't see anything, walked around the house. I think the scariest, well, then when I talked to my friends about it when they got home, they said, yeah, they had bought the house from someone who committed suicide, and that they had had an experience where they were sitting downstairs and thought someone walked upstairs, and they were calling to the person and never heard any response. It was not really anyone in the house. But I think probably the scariest thing was when the policemen were leaving, one of the policemen picked up this big butcher knife out of the sink and then started like pointing it to me, making the sounds from Psycho.
Like, thank you,
so
officer.
That was probably the worst part of that whole experience. But it did make me think, I mean, it wasn't that exciting, but it was something inexplicable.
Well, I'm terrified now.
Yes.
Of your family. I'm terrified of this. Thank you so much. Thank you guys for having me in your house.
All right. Well,
thank you for being here. Yes.
They have opened the door and insinuating that it is time for me to leave. I will go.
Would you like a glass of water to look at? To ponder?
All right. Hail Satan, and thank you for listening. Goodbye.
And it was just as crazy as we thought it would be. wonderful job, Henry. And, you know, thanks for taking the bullet, Dave.
Yeah, appreciate
it. Now you know what I've been going through the past 4 years.
Well, I'm a little bit more on the level. So, yeah, it's what you've been going through.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening to this special episode. Marcus, what do we have to tell them?
If you guys want to give to our Patreon, go to patreon.com/lastpodcastontheleft. We really appreciate all the support that everyone has been giving us. It's overwhelming. Actually, thank you so much, and we've got a lot of rewards for you. Go check it out, patreon.com/lastpodcastontheleft. We're coming back to Baltimore. That is going to be here next, or that's going to be in August. So go check out the Auto Bar website. We're going back to Auto Bar. We're doing the downstairs this time, right. And there's also a Facebook event that you can search for and grab tickets there. We sold out Los Angeles.
Awesome!
Can't wait for that show. That's coming up here real soon. And of course, our England shows are coming up very soon as well. In October, we've sold out one night in London. We've sold out Manchester. We've almost sold out Glasgow and our second London night. So do not wait to get those tickets because they will absolutely sell out. Go to gigsandtours.com to get your tickets for that.
Unbelievable. I want to give a special thank you to everyone in D.C. We did the Kennedy Center. We'll give a larger thank you in the next episode. But my God, we had such an amazing weekend. I can't believe JFK let us play his theater.
And special thank you to Jen Tisdale for setting that up and for warming up the crowd for us. Roasting our listeners.
She roasted them. Yes, she did. It was absolutely remarkable. Thank you so much for listening and supporting all the shows, listening to and supporting all the shows here on Cave Comedy Radio, the Roundtable of Gentlemen, Sex and Other Human Activities, Page 7, The Lucky Bone Show, Abe Lincoln's Top Hat. We really appreciate it. The numbers are looking amazing, and it couldn't happen without your support.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a long, hard road, but you guys have stuck with us, and we could not have done it without you. Thank you so much for supporting the show. We could not thank you enough.
All right, hail yourselves.
And Heil Gein.
And for Henry, hail me!
And magustalations as always.
For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to cavecomedyradio.com.